January 7th, 2021, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. Ms. Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Russell?
Present.
Commissioner Tui?
Here.
Commissioner Burns?
Here.
I'm here. Commissioner Lowe?
Here.
Commissioner McMahon?
Present.
Commissioner Stanton?
Also present.
Commissioner Jones?
Here.
Commissioner Rushing?
Here.
We have 9 members present. We have a quorum.
We have a full quorum. Mr. Zenner, are there any adjustments or additions to the agenda?
No, there are not, ma'am.
Thank you.
I move to approve.
Second.
Second by Ms. Russell. I'll take a thumbs up approval on the agenda. Ms. Rushing's thumb is up. We have unanimous.
Yeah, it was all put
it's
down.
The wall. The wall is hiding your thumb there. Everyone should have received a copy of the December 10th meeting minutes. Were there any additions, changes, edits?
I move to approve.
Second.
Second by Ms. Galway Jones. I'll take a thumbs up approval on the minutes. We have one abstention, Ms. Russell. All right. That brings us to our first case of the evening, which is a tabling request. Case 46-2021, a request by a civil group on behalf of Columbia Housing Authority for approval of a major amendment to the Kinney Point PD plan and the associated statement of intent governing the 1.96-acre property located on the northeast ochre corner of Sexton Road and Garth Avenue. The revised PD plan proposes 24 multifamily units and a mix of 2, 3, and 4 bedrooms on the site with a total density of 12.23 acres per unit or per acre, 12.23 units per acre. The applicant has requested that this item be tabled to the January 21st, 2021 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. May we have a staff report, please?
We actually don't have one prepared due to the tabling request.
All right. Usually.
I can give you the reason for their tabling is just due to scheduling issues over the holidays and some minor design issues that needed to be worked out.
All right. And they should be prepared by January 21st?
Yes, that was their requested date. So.
All right. Ms. Russell.
I'm just going to go right to it. I move to table case 46-2021 to the January 21st, 2021 Planning and Zoning meeting.
Second.
Second by Mr. McMahon. We have a motion on the floor. Mr. Zenner, I just want to confirm this was advertised as tabling and wasn't advertised as a public hearing.
The advertising for the case was advertised as a public hearing for this evening. The agenda as posted was posted with the tabling notification.
All right. So we're okay with moving ahead without any.
If there's any individual within the audience that you would like to address the commission as it relates to this, as has been historic practice, you can invite them to the podium so those comments may be captured for the record as it relates to this, but we are only discussing the aspect of the tabling, not the merits of the case.
I'm going to poll the audience before we make a vote on this. Ugh, these are irritating. Is there anyone here to speak on this case in the audience? Okay, seeing none. Mr. McMahon.
Indirectly, a little bit of point of order here, Lee. I understand that the local neighborhood
does want more time to evaluate this because of the issues with COVID and meetings and stuff like that. And I did send back to them that it was planned to be tabled.
Okay. Just
so everyone's on the up and up there.
Any additional discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Carroll, may we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Russell?
Yes.
Commissioner Tui?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Gawe Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
9 votes to approve. The motion carries.
Recommendation for tabling will be made. That brings us to our next case for this evening under subdivisions, case 35-2021, a request by Engineering Surveys and Services on behalf of Leon and Marilyn Keller Properties, LLC, for a two-lot preliminary plat to be known as Preliminary Plat Northland Acres Plat 3. The 1.98-acre property is zoned IG Industrial and is addressed 3206 Range Line Street. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, you may, Madam Chairman. As you can see here on the screen, the subject property is at the intersection of Blue Ridge, Range Line, and Northland Drive on the east side of Range Line. Early notification postcards were sent out on the 18th of November. There were 10 of them, and as this is a preliminary plat with no design adjustments, there was no public newspaper printed notice on this as pursuant to our notification process within the Unified Development Code. My knowledge, we have not had any individuals inquiring about the proposed platting action that were notified by the postcards. The purpose for the plat itself is to confer legal lot status on the acreage and to afford the opportunity to have it final platted in the future into the two lots that are shown here on the exhibit. Legal lot status will allow for sewer extension permits to be issued as well as building permits to do renovation work on the existing structure located at the southwest corner of the property at Range Line and Blue Ridge. The concurrent final plat to create the two lots that you see here is presently under review. The site is zoned IG, and all development that would commence on the property after it is platted into the two lots would need to comply with the IG zoning standards for setbacks and any other applicable requirements. The plat does propose appropriate half-width right-of-way dedications for both Range Line and Northland. Blue Ridge currently has adequate right-of-way and in some instances may have excessive right-of-way, which may be sought to be vacated at some future date. Corner truncation has also been added, a topic that we often run into as being asked to be waived. But at the corners where it is needed, Northland and Blue Ridge, where they intersect with Range Line, we do have the appropriate 30-foot corner truncations. And then the standard utility easements along Range Line, as well as all of the road rights of way, have been provided, as well as other existing utilities that easements that affect the property, and our utility easement that's needed to bring sewer into the lot as well. Sidewalks are also shown on the plat that will be installed at the time that we have any additional development in the appropriate locations. It's a pretty simple, straightforward project. It meets all of our UDC regulatory standards. The plat does afford the opportunity to create the additional lot there on the easternmost side of it, and we are recommending approval. If you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Before we move to questions for staff, I would like to ask any commissioners who has had any ex parte prior to this meeting to please share that with the commission now so all commissioners have the benefit the same information related to this case. Seeing none, are there any questions for staff? I see none. If that case, we will open the floor up to public comment. Speakers should give their name and address for the public record. You will have 3 minutes to speak. If you're speaking for a group, you can have 6 minutes.
Hi, my name is Jacob Novak, and I work with Engineering Surveys and Services at 1113 Fay Street here in Columbia, Missouri, just right over the hill. Tonight, we're representing Marilyn and Leon Keller. They are the, I didn't know if you knew this, but they are the owners of Meyer Electric. And their hope is to develop the lot as a small office, a forward office. They're located in Jeff City and want to have a forward office here. If you've driven by the lot, it's currently being renovated, the building, which didn't necessarily require the plat. Their two goals were to bring the lot into conformance with the city UDC, as well as they have a septic tank sitting behind there. And the hope was to bring public gravity sewer to their lot so they could, you know, get rid of the septic tank. They're not the funnest things to take care of. So that's why we're doing the plat. And I came tonight to see if you guys had any questions for Engineering Surveys and Services, or we also have an owner representative here tonight if you wanted to ask them any questions. That's all I got. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Novak. Are there any questions for this speaker? Good job.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you, and have a nice night.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers on this case? If not, we will close the public hearing. Commission discussion. Mr. Stanton.
I'd like to entertain a motion, Madam Chair. As it relates to the case 35-2021, Northern Acreage Plot 3 preliminary plat, I move to approve the preliminary plat of preliminary plat Northland Acres Plot 3. Plat
second.
3. I'll second that.
Second by Ms. Russell. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion? I see none. Ms. Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Russell?
Yes.
Commissioner Toohey?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Galway Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
We have 9 votes to approve. The motion carries.
Thank you. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. This brings us to public hearings and subdivisions. The first case is case 37-2021, a request by a civil group on behalf of McNary Properties LLC to rezone 5.92 acres from PD Planned District to R1, one family residential. The subject property is located at the southeast terminus of Scarborough Drive and is presently undeveloped. The applicant is seeking to develop the subject acreage into 7 single-family lots. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, you may. Thank you, Madam Chair. Real quick on the public notice front here, the early notification postcards were sent on the 25th of November. At that point, there were 49 postcards sent. There's an asterisk there because that was an error, actually, and it was resent as a letter early to 79 or 72 recipients because there was an error in our GIS mapping software. It was not pulling condo owners. It was only pulling the common lot owner for the property. So that was rectified, and those were sent out on the 22nd of December. It was also advertised in the Tribune on the 22nd. So the rezoning here would rezone the property from PD to R1, which in effect removes it from the plan district and also removes it from the requirement for the development plan that goes along with the PD zoning. There's a concurrent preliminary plat, which is the next case we'll speak of, case 38, which depicts 7 single-family lots around basically a turnaround and then a short extension of Scarborough Drive, which we'll get to that in a bit. So the plan here is the approved Cambridge Place PUD plan. The portion outlined in red is our subject site. The PD plan was approved in 1988, and it was amended a number of times, six or seven times, most recently in 2005, which is the plan we have in front of us here. The plan depicts a mix of attached and detached single-family homes, so any of the larger size rectangles are actually two-family homes. You can tell by the existence of a double driveway in front. The portion outlined in red, again, that's our subject site, included at that time 29 total units located off of two cul-de-sacs and one loop street, and again, they're depicted there on the plan. Single-family attached homes outside of plan districts require R2 zoning, and as such, the request here actually constitutes a downzoning to R1. So the ability for them to build the two-family homes will go away with the rezoning. And basically, given the fact that this is downzoning, and we typically nowadays support the move away from plan districts, we would recommend approval of this rezoning request. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Before we move to Commissioner questions, I would like to ask any commissioner who has had any expertise prior to this meeting to please share that with the commission now so all commissioners have the benefit of the same information related to the case in front of us. Seeing none, are there any questions for Mr. Palmer? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Palmer,
what's the slope on this property?
Obviously, that depends on where you're talking about, but generally it slopes down towards the center of the site going west or east to west and down towards the more wooded area on the west end, but it's fairly steep.
You know the pitch on that?
No, I don't. It obviously varies across the site, but
we have a pitch standard, don't we, for steep slopes here in the city?
Yeah.
That's Mr. Zenner, you may know, we changed that. Is it 15 or 20? We wanted 15, and I lost that vote. It's 20 now, right?
20 or 25.
With caveats, correct?
I believe that is correct.
All right, and we don't know what this slope is?
I mean, from a steep slopes perspective, that would be handled more at the aspect of the subdivision infrastructure design perspective to ensure it would be preserved.
I appreciate it's a building site issue rather than a land use issue necessarily, but I want to bring that up here because we're dropping, what, 20 plus feet over that? Something like that? I will move on. We won't belabor this point. I'm concerned about the slope. Thank you, Mr. Palmer.
Any additional questions for staff? Ms. Rushing.
If you go to the old plat on the, where approximately are these seven lots going to be?
We'll get into that in the next case, but generally where the loop street is, it's in place of this and probably more towards this intersection here is the design we have at this point shows a turnaround at that location, and all of those lots are centered off of that turnaround.
Okay.
Any additional questions for staff? Mr. Palmer, this is perhaps more of a comment than a question, but I found the logic used in this report interesting in conjunction with a case we had at the end of last year, which was case 201-2020 for Northridge PD plan. And the staff recommended approving that proposal, and the arguments for supporting it included promoting mixed housing options and encouraging integrated residential densification. Tonight we're having a proposal brought before us, and staff is urging us to support it for reasons including that the plan previously included housing types not permitted in R1, so we're being encouraged to go away from mixed housing options and go more toward a straight single family, and that it will decrease density. So I just wanted to point out that I'm finding staff's logic a bit circular, if not inconsistent. And a bit hard to follow. So,
I mean, that could be just the difference in staff that prepared the two reports.
I agree, but if pretty diametric, so I think we might need to have further conversations if that's going to be the case.
What I would suggest to you, Ms. Lowe, is if you look at the development pattern that is outside of the Cambridge Place PD,
yes,
to the west of this particular, or to the east of this particular project, which is shown on the map, Hilda, as well as Meadowview Drive, those are standard single-family detached homes in straight-zone property.
Correct.
The objective of the developer as a part of the Cambridge Place PUD was to have individual postage stamp sized lots that were more in a condo style regime with common area that surrounded them. Market conditions have changed over time as this development has built out. This particular property and the applicant's representative is here to explain maybe more about how this property has has been released, in essence, from the original covenant that was associated with this development parcel. And they are looking to move toward a more consistent form of development. Now, while it may seem to be contrary to what we have done with the Northridge project, which was 201, we have mixed-use project in this area. We have an opportunity for that, and it was a combination of duplexes and single-family attached, or single-family detached homes in this, in the Cambridge Place. This particular development is just eliminating the duplex, which is not possibly being seen as viable in this particular location, whereas creating density within the particular area of the prior case and utilizing the plan district approach to do that versus going into an R2 zoning classification to yield cottage style sized lots, there is a difference here in that respect. I mean, we had R1 lots surrounding the prior case as well, and we could have utilized that as a justification for it to remain R1. We chose not to, looking at what the other infrastructure aspects were, public infrastructure aspects, schools, parks, and the like. This is far more remotely located in an area at the back of an existing development. And the conversion to solely single-family lots that are going to be relatively large single-family lots, significantly less dense, to some extent addresses the comment that Mr. McMahon was making as it relates to the topographical issues here. It is a more responsible approach to deal with what, from what I am looking at here now, Mr. McMahon, is a topo map that we had within the packet, approximately a 30 to 30 foot fall on this property from east to west. Coming down to the creek, which basically is in the back of two proposed lots, which Mr. Palmer will get to here with the subdivision plan, probably a much more responsible approach to development than enhancing the development intensity. The packaging of how we may have described this in our logic could have been better. However, we don't believe that the reduction in the density in this particular instance is inappropriate. It actually may be more appropriate given the environmental impacts.
I would encourage you to use the site-specific instances to support the arguments or the report in the future. Again, as I read it, for me anyway, as one of the commissioners, it weakens both arguments when I don't get that information and I'm simply being told in one case we're encouraging densification and I'm being told in another case we're supporting downzoning. So fully understand. I would say, though, in this case, given that there are duplexes immediately to the north in the PUD and that there's R2 zoned immediately on the north border of the PD, that if the developer has some information telling us that those duplexes aren't successful and this is the reason why they no longer, this is the market reason why they no longer want to move forward with more of those, that would mean more to me than saying they want to now be more analogous to the properties to the south of them. Because, again, we just looked at a project where it was completely surrounded by R1, and we approved upzoning with a reduced area footprint. So completely... No adjacencies. I would just, we do read the reports, and I would appreciate more specific information. Any additional comments or questions? Ms. Rushing.
I had the same question you did. As a matter of fact, I wrote densification with question mark. But when I went out and drove through that area, it's pretty, even though it's single family and duplexes, it's pretty densely developed. And this area where these units are proposed is wooded, and I just think that reducing the number of units that go down there take some of the stress off of that area environmentally, and given the overall densification in that area, in the rest of the area, I think that this is probably appropriate, particularly given the topographical issues that they're going to have to deal with on the property. But I agree that just reading the staff report, that was not obvious. And I think that it would be helpful when they say, make one recommendation here and another there, that they do a little bit more to explain the difference between the properties.
Any additional comments? Ms. Galway-Jones?
This may be more appropriate for the owner/developer, but my concern is maybe similar to something you touched on, which is we've got really dense duplexes, condos, whatever you want to call them, with a community center. And I know at least part of Juniper is more of a senior community kind of area. I don't know if this is near that part of Juniper or not, but so we've got all this density and community style living, and then we're going to have these huge lots with single family homes on it, and that seems out of character for the rest of the neighborhood. And I'm just wondering, am I understanding what they're trying to do correctly? Like, is this going to be, because even though there's R1 that backs to this, those R1 lots are teeny tiny. You know, they're not big R1 lots. They're very small. So I'm just wondering if this is going to be way out of character with everything else. I don't know. Rusty, you can tell me that's the developer's question. You don't know.
Oh, I mean, like I said in the report, you're basically just, you are getting larger lots. You're still single family in nature. You're just removing the attached option, basically. But probably the larger lots is the biggest impact as far as, you know, what you're going to see on the site when you drive in there. It'll be an obvious character difference. But also from a planning perspective, as Mr. Zinner noted, this is where you would see those larger lots, at the rear of a development, at the end of that cul-de-sac road. My opinion is that it's appropriate to lessen the density in this location, at least.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? Carol?
I was considering saving this for commissioner discussion, but since we're on the topic now, I'm thankful that you brought up this comment, Sarah. I noticed the same thing when I was driving it. And I also noted several duplexes in the same development. My concern was to the message that we're sending when we tell the community that we support densification in one area and then send a contradictory message in the other area. Our concerns for social mobility are just as relevant in one neighborhood as they are in another neighborhood. That said, I don't have a problem with this particular project. I just want us to give some thought to this.
All right. If we don't have any additional questions for staff, we will move on to public comment. And again, if you come up to the podium, if you can give your name and address for the record.
Madam Chairman, Commissioners, my name is Kevin Murphy. I'm with A Civil Group, offices at 3401 Broadway Business Park Court. While it's fresh in our minds and what the discussion was just having, I would agree with staff and also with Commissioner Rushing. Density has its appropriate place. There's plenty of times where I've brought projects to here and we get shot down, pushed away, told to come back with another plan that's not as dense. I don't know if you've been on Rock Quarry Road or here. It's a narrow two-lane road that has quite a bit of traffic on it. So infrastructure is lacking for full densification in this area. Also, the environmental concerns, the slopes you were considering, I believe, are just small maps and I can't see so well anymore, but it looks like it's 10 to 15% slope on there. That's not horribly steep. But more of that ground and more of those trees are going to be able to be preserved. Again, it's less traffic going through those folks that have lived out there for 20 years. We're density-wise, we're a fifth of the density of that. I would also say that this is a different mix of housing out here, be it single family, and again, pointing out the smaller single family lots to the south and to the east, the mixed neighborhood within Cambridge Place, that instead of having not only the use in single family or two family, we have big lots, which is different than the surrounding area. So in my mind, that's a variety of housing and property types that are allowed. There's additionally, to the north, there's plenty of duplexes to the north of Cambridge Place and up to Knife on there. Let's see here. Again, yes, we're going from 29 units to 7 units, 19 buildings to 7 buildings. We're retaining a tree preservation area, and actually the contract purchaser for this property plans to build their own residence on the large lot to the south and west, and potentially a house for his mother in the neighborhood as well. I guess that's just the zoning point, so I can talk about the preliminary plat a bit later, but I think that's all I have for now. If you have any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. Are there any questions for the speaker? Ms. Godway-Jones.
Hi, thank you. I think I see better what you're trying to do, but are these going to be extremely out of character, very large lots next to tiny houses and attached single family? Like, that would be my only concern, that this turns into a neighborhood I lived in for a while here in Columbia, had one remaining corner lot that had, I think, a 6,000 square foot home on it, and everything else was 1,500 square feet. Like that's, I don't think that works well for any of the neighbors. that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, I'm not understanding, I guess, why you wouldn't think that's works out well or not. Somebody feel inadequate because their house is smaller?
Yes, yeah, that was it. No, it's that you have, when you have, it starts messing with home values, and eventually, like, the person who owned that corner lot confided in me that he ended up very upside down in that house because as the rest of everything was developed, his house, he could never get that money back because the neighborhood was, all of the comps were so much lower than his house.
I can see that. Again, this property is not part, the Cambridge Place has other things to offer that people would have.
They
have
would be completely out of that then?
Yes.
Okay.
They have a large clubhouse and you know, many amenities and whatnot that people buy in there for that reason.
Thank you. I wasn't understanding that. For some reason, it wasn't clicking in my head. I appreciate that.
Any additional questions for this speaker?
I'm sorry. I do think you would hear, you may hear from some of the neighbors possibly in that neighborhood that they've enjoyed this ground, big and open and empty, and I, you know, I would hope they would like that it is being downzoned, less development than what could be done currently, and more impactful on the property.
Well, and if I'm looking, I peeked, but if I'm looking right, a good portion of it is tree preservation lot.
Yes, on the very west end. Yes, there's a good portion there, and again on the large lot, the contract purchaser is going to build on that, and he intends to save. He currently has a house out west of town that looks out on the 6 acres of, you know, unimproved ground, and that's what he intends to enjoy here.
Thank you.
Any more questions for this speaker? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Murphy.
Sure. Thank you, folks.
Any additional speakers on this case? There's none, we'll close public hearing. Commission discussion. Mr. Stanton.
Some good points, and I advise my colleagues that one size doesn't fit all the time, and that's basically why we're here as a commission, to make those 50-50 calls and make those space and time and neighborhood appropriate decisions. As you well know, I'm involved in a lot of affordable housing, and we deal with density and inner cities and all that kind of stuff. What was brought up was mobility and housing mobility and availability. This project fits all that. Not only does it have the diverse housing stock, but the developer did decrease its footprint. It did preserve more green space. And it diversified the housing stock, because now not only do you have short, smaller lots, you've got bigger lots, and you know, if we want to talk about the social impact, that is, hey, there's different types of houses, and there'll be different types of families. And some people got big yards that we can go play in, and then some people got smaller yards. And all that is good in the neighborhood. So even though those arguments were very, you know, very poignant, diversity in housing stock and density works both ways. It can be less dense, it can be more dense. And I'm always in support of the downsizing, because in our past we've dealt with, you know, places where they downsized to protect the neighborhood. And this is definitely could be a way to protect and preserve a particular part of this neighborhood by making it less dense and making it R1 and not a PUD, where he had a lot more latitude to do a lot more stuff that we probably would complain about later. So as we had these discussions, you know, those things work both ways. And I plan to support this, if you didn't know.
Mr. McMahon. Oops. Sorry.
Although I do believe I was up before Valerie does. I was going to make a motion. I think she has a comment.
I also plan on supporting this. I think the project is a good project. I think it fits the neighborhood. But I do think it, I agree, one size does not fit all. One statement doesn't fit all, and it's the statements that I'm concerned with. It's the message that we're sending. Supporting this project is easy to do. Support downzoning, support densification, that's a little heavier of a statement. And like Sarah mentioned, I think that warrants some discussion and some consideration, because it communicates a desire of the city that relates to a number of other projects.
Ms. Russell?
For the most part, Cambridge Place is a senior community, so it offers things for seniors there. So I don't think they're gonna have a problem with the sizes of lots there. They might miss being able to walk out in the woods, but they have a lot of other things that going on there. So I plan to support it.
Godway Jones.
Well, and I think for some reason during the staff report, when they said taking it out of the Cambridge Place, I thought they meant the PD plan, not that it's not part of the Cambridge Place, what's HOA or whatever their agreement is for the community center and the senior living. And part of my concern was just a giant lot is not necessarily desirable or good for a senior, someone who wants to move to a senior living community anyway. But I think I understand this better now, and I think I'll probably support it.
Mr. McMahon.
If no one else. In the matter of case 37-2021, McNary Properties LLC rezoning from PD to R1, I move to approve.
Second.
Second by Ms. Rushing. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion? I see none. Ms. Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Russell?
Yes.
Commissioner Toohey?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Galway Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
I have 9 votes to approve. The motion is carried.
Recommendation for rezoning will be forwarded to City Council. That brings us to case 38-21, a request by a civil group on behalf of McNary Properties LLC for approval of an 8-lot preliminary plat on 5.92 acres located at the terminus of Scarborough Drive. A concurrent request, case 37-2021, to rezone the subject property from PD, Plan District, to R1, one family residential. is also under consideration, which is the case we just heard. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, you may. Thank you, Madam Chair. So similarly to the last case, the public notice for this was sent on the 25th of November. And again, those postcards were initially sent to the, I believe, 49 property owners in our database, and that was adjusted to, they were resent for the 72 property owners. So the plan here is the proposed preliminary plan. As you can see, and as I stated previously, basically there's a short extension of Scarborough Drive down into this subject tract. It terminates in a T turnaround. There have been a number of discussions about options for that turnaround as an alternative to a standard cul-de-sac bulb. Basically, there are conflicts arising from the fire code and our UDC on cul-de-sac bulbs, and so they're trying to find an alternative here that fits both. So I'll get back into that in just a minute. But as you can see, there are seven lots located off of this turnaround, the largest being this piece here that takes up most of the wooded area. The eighth lot is a tree preservation lot on the far west end of this kind of L-shaped property. Let's see. The turnaround, just for your information, is still under staff review. And that is why you'll find our recommendation for approval is conditioned on that being ironed out before it moves to council. Again, the subject tract's part of the Cambridge Place PUD. I think we could probably skip most of this. The approved plan depicts the mix of attached and detached single-family homes. And 37, again, requested the rezoning. The plan does depict sidewalks constructed around the entire entirety of the turnaround, additional right-of-way dedication. Basically, the Scarborough Drive right-of-way terminates here at this point, so all of this right-of-way will be dedicated for that extension and the turnaround. All the necessary drainage and utility easements are depicted on the plat. One of note, the tree preservation lot does not have access onto the roadway, so there's a 20-foot easement along this northern property line. That's this line here, if you can follow my mouse cursor. That is for access purposes, and it also covers the creek bed, which is within a 16-foot drainage easement. So all of that stuff is protected in that location. This is a fairly straightforward request for just a prelim plat, and so our recommendation would be for approval.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Before we move to staff questions, I would like to ask any commissioner who has had any expertise related to this case to please share that with the commission so all commissioners have the benefit of the same information related to the case in front of us. Seeing none, Mr. McMahon.
I have a question. It might be for Mr. Zenner. It might be for staff or for our staff attorney. When we make this motion, as all the details are not ironed out, does this have to be a conditional motion? Do we have to word that in some special way to cover the turnaround? Or what's the story there?
I would recommend that the motion be made subject to technical corrections.
Like resolution of the technical issue of the turnaround. All right.
I just want to make sure that we were worded correctly so everyone gets what they need.
Thank you, sir.
Any additional questions for staff? Mr. Palmer, I have a question. The maintenance access easement, would the neighbors be able to use that to access the...
Yeah, it's private property, but it's there. It's an easement across private property to grant access to that tree preservation area. As far as I know, there's no plan to like put a trail through there because a lot of it is encumbered by the drainage channel. So improvement in it might not be feasible or desirable even. But it will be used to to access the tree preservation area for the minimal amount of maintenance that it would require.
Thank you. If there's no additional questions for staff, we will open the floor to public comment. If anyone has any public comments they would like to make on this case, please give your name and address for the public record.
Hello again, Kevin Murphy, A Civil Group, 3401 Broadway Business Park Court. In developing this plan, became aware of us to us that in the last few several months, the fire department's been requiring larger sized cul-de-sac bulbs. Typical would be 76 foot diameter. The IFC code, the International Fire Code, stipulates a 96 foot. They've started to adhere to that. The conflict is the UDC still does not recognize that. But then back to the IFC, they have not only a regular cul-de-sac bulb, they have several other different options for allowing appropriate turnaround and access for fire trucks. We picked this one. It's just the least amount of pavement, least amount of impact on the environment. We feel at the end of this cul-de-sac that really you're gonna see the houses, you're gonna figure out what you gotta do if somebody inadvertently comes down here. Mainly the people that come down here, the people that live down there. The idea would be on the west end of the T, on going into that larger lot, there'd be signage there, definitely noting that it was a private drive, and they would do what they need to do. Again, that would be the contract purchaser developer's own lot, so he's not concerned with it. Fire department's happy with this type of turnaround. I think the traffic division was okay with it. Planning was seemed to be okay with it. I just think it was single person's got a hiccup in their head that it doesn't quite meet the UDC's standard, because again, they're just showing in the UDC your typical round bulb. Again, not a high traffic area, and we feel that that would work well in this instance without putting down a ton more pavement and concrete and whatnot.
So the turnaround's the only technical issue?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Any questions for Mr. Murphy? None. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any additional speakers on this case? Seeing none. Oops. Come on up.
I didn't plan on speaking, but since there had been a couple of questions about Cambridge. My name is Randy Bame, and I live at 4158 Juniper Place. Our property actually backs up onto this piece of property. I'm currently the president of the Cambridge Place Neighborhood Association. We don't have any official position because we did not take a vote, but I will tell you that the board did meet and talked about this. Also talked to Mr. Wilson at some extent. And although I can't tell you there's complete consensus, I don't know if that ever happens these days. There are certainly members of our group who would like to see it not be developed, but we don't really think that that's possible. So looking at the fact that it will ultimately be developed in some fashion, we think that this proposal is best for all involved, and we trust and like Mr. Wilson's plan. And so I can tell you that the majority of the Cambridge folks are in agreement with this plan. And I will say that we, in conversation with Mr. Wilson, he does not have any plans of asking to become part of our neighborhood association. He thinks that we already have enough people using our facilities, and we agree with that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for this speaker? I see none, thank you. Any additional speakers? Seeing none, we'll close public hearing. Commission discussion. Mr. Stanton.
My colleagues don't have any other discussion. I'd like to entertain a motion, ma'am. As it relates to case 382021, Cambridge Place, Phase 4 preliminary plat, I move to approve Phase 4 preliminary plat pursuant to minor technical revisions in relation to the final turnaround layout to be coordinated with staff with the applicant.
Second.
Second by Mr. McMahon. I can't see anyone's mouth move.
Second. Two. I say two.
By Mr. McMahon. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, Ms. Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Russell?
Yes.
Commissioner Tuohy?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Galway Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
I have 9 votes to approve. The motion is carried.
Consensus. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. That brings us to public hearings and our last case for the evening, case 45-2021, a request by a civil group on behalf of Walters Acquisitions, Inc. for a PD plan amendment to the Columbia Plaza South PD plan to accommodate the redevelopment of the site as a Culver's restaurant with an accessory drive-through and a design exception to 29-4.3 I2III to allow a service window on the corner side of a building. The approximately 0.77 acre property is located at the southeast corner of Stadium Boulevard and Bernadette Drive and includes the address 2010 Bernadette Drive. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you stated, this is a major amendment to an existing PD plan referred to as Columbia Plaza South. It does require a public hearing. There was advanced postcard sent out to neighboring property owners, 7 of those, and it was advertised December 22nd as well. As you can see, the site located at the southeast corner there, Bernadette and Stadium. To the west is the Columbia Mall. You can see the interstate interchange to the north. Our site is one lot of a two-lot PD development originally, but the amendment is only affecting the one lot you see here highlighted on the screen. This is the side-by-side comparison of the previous approved plan for this site. It is currently improved with a standalone restaurant that was previously used by Ruby Tuesdays with off-street parking as well. The new plan on the left, you can see, generally also accommodates a restaurant use for a Culver's restaurant. This one would include a drive-through as an accessory use as well. And you can see from the layout there, has a double drive-through lanes that wrap kind of around the west side of the building coming out along the south of it. The original plan was approved in 1994. The eastern portion of this has gone through a couple amendments since then, but the site that we're looking at here, which is lot one of that subdivision, this would be the first amendment to the original plan. Again, the restaurant that's there was approximately 5,800 square feet, being replaced by a 4,200 square feet restaurant with the drive-through. The drive-through has the double lanes. It also has a service window, which is where you generally would pick up your order in a drive-through restaurant. And it faces Stadium. This is important because it's technically not permitted by UDC standards. So that's a design exception we'll talk about here more in a second. Access to the site, they have no direct access to any public roadway, so they do cross lot 2 to the east, but they do have an access easement existing to allow that access for their patrons to allow access to the site. As you can see here, this is the landscape plan for the site. That is consistent with UDC as well. They did have to meet the current UDC landscape standards, not the original. There was an original
condition within the ordinance that approved the zoning for this site. That was for an 8-foot wall along the south, on this site anyway, along the south side of that property with landscaping as well. So that condition, that requirement is also included on this plan. The original zoning stays as it is, so that's still a required condition, so we want to make sure that got captured on this plan as well. Also, open space on the site actually is going to increase 4%. The design exception, again, like I had stated, was to 29-4-3I2-3Is. And basically is that the service windows can't be located in general on a street side of a building. So the drive-through is meant to be either generally in the rear of a building or on a side of a building when that side doesn't face a street. In this case, the side does face a street. It faces west towards Stadium. They're asking to have that service window on the street side, so that would be an exception to the typical UDC standards. To mitigate that, and just to touch on the reason for that, generally that's going to be an aesthetic kind of building appearance, building form requirement. So the service window and the stacking there is generally thought hiding that to the rear of the building, so it's not as readily viewable from the public right-of-way. It's meant to be more of an aesthetic, a higher design standard for buildings. And so what they are proposing, though, is to have that service window on the west side, but to mitigate that impact of the visual appearance of a drive-through window, they're actually going to screen it with basically an extension of the building. And I have in here, and which should have been included in the packet too, some preliminary sketches of what that would look like. And I could show you. And here's the drive-through window, just to be specific. You can kind of see on the plan there is it represents the building extension on the plan there, kind of in the middle of the drive. It's a little hard to tell on the plan. But generally, this is what they're proposing. So the entire service window would be generally screened from view from the stadium right-of-way. And this is kind of looking through the approach. That's another look towards the window there. So it would mimic the style of the building and give you that appearance that there isn't a drive-through there. So after talking with the applicant about that and their proposal there for mitigation, we did feel like this was a kind of a flexible solution to that issue. And in this situation, we would support the exception in this case with that caveat that they do screen it as they're showing on that plan. So that was kind of our condition there for recommending approval on that site. We think it kind of still meets the objective of what that code requirement was meant to do. And so with that being said, we're going to recommend approval of the PD plan with that design exception, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Before we move on to staff questions, I would like to ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte prior to the meeting to please share that with the commission now, so all commissioners have the benefit of the same information on the case in front of us. Seeing none, Mr. McMahon.
I have a question for Planner Smith. When we make this motion, it'll be two motions?
No, I don't think in this situation.
I mean, one for the window and one for the design exception?
We usually do for the design adjustments, but in this case, because the design exception, I think, is part of the plan.
And that's why I asked that question. We often have a second for an design exemption. When the motion is stated, the agreement, building butt-out, or whatever you're going to call it, should be in that motion, correct?
I think so.
That would be correct.
Okay. Last question for right now. I noticed that the screening, there's a sign on that. Are we going to run into extra signage issues?
So signage is Billy based upon wall area.
So we're good.
We would be fine.
Yeah. All right. That's all I want to know. We weren't getting into another issue by bringing that out.
Understand.
I'm good. Thanks.
Any additional questions? Ms. Rushing.
I was kind of concerned, although probably not overly so, about the loss of parking. How many total parking spaces are going to be lost with this
How many are going to be lost? I could check. They are going to be losing spaces. I can tell you that they meet the minimum amount of spaces required for that site now. They also have a shared parking agreement with the bank lot to the east.
So these parking spaces along the side are sufficient for that restaurant?
Yes, they have 21 space requirement, and they have along the east side, but they also have a small bank on the south side, if you can see those. So there's another eight or nine spaces along the south property line. So they do meet the minimum, which I think is 21 on this site.
Okay. I'm down there quite a bit, and I don't see any other way that they could do this that would allow good traffic flow other than what they're proposing.
Any additional questions for staff? Mr. Smith, I have a question. Since this is a PD plan, Is the screening described, or is there a minimum requirement for the screening? Because I noticed that what is shown in the plan appears to be smaller than what's represented in the elevations.
Are you talking about the drive-through screening?
Yes.
The building?
That's what they're asking, indicating will be the exception. So the plan, the screen, appears to cover maybe go back to your screen. The plan you were on that shows the cars. Stop.
Oh, right.
So using the car as a scale, maybe 1.5 cars would fit behind that screened wall. Now, if you go to the front elevation, next one. At least 2 full cars, maybe more.
And I could say that the elevations, I spoke with the architect on this, and these were very early. They put these together kind of in a hurry just for this reason that we had requested that they do something with screening these. So this was kind of their preliminary attempt.
I understand, but asking us to approve this based on elevations that don't represent what they intend to do, I think is a little bit misguided.
I would say base it on what's on the plan. This is mostly just an illustration, so I apologize the scaling was off. So this is meant to really represent, I think, the design of it and not so much the exact dimensions of it.
So based on the plan, it appears the screen's about half the width of what's being shown in the elevation.
I think my objective would be to screen the service window. And that is the intent of that of the ordinance, is not to have the service window there. So as long as that objective was met, then that was my intent with the screening.
Right, but if the screen is only minimally wider than the service window, how much are you screening it, is my point.
It depends on what angle you're looking at. If you're considering a straight screening.
If you're standing across the street from it, it's screened. If you're driving by it, you're seeing it.
Right, and The alternative would be you want to see 0% of it, in which case you're going to look at an extremely long wall. So there has to be somewhere in there where you do draw the line. And for me, it was pretty much going to be probably a little bit extra than the window, but what we saw on the plan for me was adequate. I think it was, like you said, a car and a half length. And to me, that seemed to represent a fair amount of screening.
Back to my original question, how do we know it's not going to get smaller or... I mean, do we establish minimum requirements since what we've been presented with are inconsistent?
I would say that what they construct should be match what's on this PD plan as far as length.
All right.
So the design of it would be closer to what's on the architectural, whether it's one window or 3 windows. We've had some discussions with them, too, about the transparency of the windows because we did want to actually physically screen it. And so we've talked to them about not making them transparent, but more translucent so that the light comes through, but not the visual appearance of the screening window. So I apologize if I represented that was a final version of an architectural plan. It was meant to be more of an illustration of what it probably will look like.
Thank you. Any additional questions for staff?
Ms. Lowe, what I would suggest, if there is concern amongst the commissioners as it relates to the potential disconnect between the expectation of the architectural element, the location of it is what is shown represented on the plan. Architecturally, if you want to ensure in your motion that the visual aspects of seeing the window, the service window, you could potentially include some qualifying statements within that it shall, as closely as possible, reflect the architectural design as depicted in the attached architectural elevation, and shall be designed such that the glass, if used, shall be translucent, not opaque and not fully transparent. Allowing the applicant's architect and our staff some flexibility in which to ensure that the design meets that general expectation. I think that may be where there may be some room for massaging what we see here, that the architect's best attempt on short notice.
The elevation, it does look part of the facade, but when it's reduced, I mean, especially in the angled perspective, it appears, you know, it's about a third of the front elevation. So it carries it off. I'm concerned when it gets reduced to much half of that it may lose that effect. But Ms. Galway-Jones.
Well, and to your point, I think my concern, while I am concerned about the width and whether it's an adequate screen, given what was just said about the windows, my new and much greater concern is it's going to end up being a wall. So rather than looking like a building and not a service window, it will look like a building with a blank wall. You know what I mean? So it, rather than looking like a normal building, it's going to lose all architectural features and become a technical fulfillment of what we are passing today, which is an extension of the building that hides the service window, which is, I believe, all that we are requiring of them. We aren't requiring of them anything other than that in our exemption, correct, Clint? Is that?
Could you rephrase that again?
So if I am understanding the motion we will make, we will approve the PD plan with an exception to the appropriate portion of the UDC. Mm-hmm. That exception is that they put a building extension that hides it from view of the street, and there are no requirements beyond that.
Correct. I mean, I think if I understand what you're saying, yeah, the physical screen is shown on the plan, so they will have to submit plans for that at the time when they come up with building plans, and we would approve that based on the PD plan.
And I think what our intention is, as we have discussed with the applicant up to this point, is that the architectural rendering that's been submitted is what that screening wall will look like, so it is an integrated, it looks integrated to the building. But I think the point that Mr. Smith's making and what I just suggested as a clarification to the opacity of these windows is to address the issue that's underlying why the exception's being asked for. We're trying to ensure that the visibility of the drive, that the UDC is trying to ensure that the visibility of the drive-through window is actually not plainly visible. I mean, I think you could still design this architectural image with translucent windows and achieve what we want and still have it look as though it's part of the building.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the fenestration's not going away. The openings will be there. It'll be like a frosted window or a glass block window something.
But there's no requirement that it be that. You're just saying.
Not unless you as the commission would like to make that a requirement is what I'm suggesting.
I have told them that's a requirement. I won't approve it unless I see that when architectural plans come in.
That's kind of what I'm
leaving this a little bit to staff leeway, that we have had that conversation, and that's going to be what they submit, and otherwise it won't be approved.
If,
so it's a little hard to lock up this as the exact elevation because it isn't exact right now.
One more thing and then I'll yield. I would like either staff or legal to add to the motion that we eventually make that the appropriate, what do you call it, shielding? Not shielding.
Screening.
Thank you. That the appropriate screening is substantially similar to the elevation, but use the phrase substantially similar.
Mr. McMahon?
Having bid on and built things like this, what is on that plan is the contract. And if it's not on that plan, I'm not going to build it. If you want me to build something else, you need to give me another plan to bid on. So it point here being, you know, we can all talk about whoever builds this is going to build what's on that plan. If you want something quite specific, I wouldn't get too crazy because the architects and staff still have to go through here. If we want something more specific, more effectively screening the window, a certain level of opacity, we need to call that out. Otherwise, it's not going to get there.
Any additional comments, questions for staff? Seeing none, let's open the floor for public discussion. If you can give your name and address for the record.
Good evening, my name is Jay Gephardt. I'm a civil engineer with the Civil Group, and I'm basically here to answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Mr. Gephardt. Any questions? I see none at this time, thank you.
Thank you.
Any additional speakers on this case? I see none, so we'll close public discussion or public hearing, commission discussion. Mr. Stanton.
I have a quick comment, and then I'd like to entertain a motion.
Let's make sure there aren't any other discussion items.
We always encourage innovation. This is very creative. This is very creative method of dealing with a drive-through issue. We encourage this kind of stuff, and they heeded the call to address this issue, so I plan to support it.
Ms. Burns.
I just wanted to thank Mr. Smith for going the extra mile to get additional views for us as to what this would be, and I trust in your statement that you will be making sure that the opacity or whatever it takes to screen the service window will occur. So thank you.
Any additional discussion? Mr. Stanton? Can we go back to the screen with the recommended? There we go.
Madam Chair, I'd like to entertain a motion. As it relates to case 45-2021, Columbia Plaza South, PD Plan Major Amendment. I move to approve the Columbia Plaza South PD Plan with design exceptions to 29-4.3I. Section 2III to allow to a service window on the corner side of the building.
Second.
Second by Ms. Russell. Discussion on the motion. Mr. McMahon.
I'd like to amend that. That's all right with you?
Well, let's hear the amendment first.
Yeah, I want to hear the amendment first.
Oh, no, you just got to take it. It's a yes or no thing. I think it's a philosophical point. I don't see the need for design exception for a drive-through, but we're here. So, therefore, and thus, I want to capture and support in our quasi-judicial manner Planner Smith's agreement and support. And I think the best way to do that is to leave it to him to negotiate that with the applicant. And the best way to do that would be to add the following amendment. to add a screen that substantially captures the architectural rendering. Planner Smith, does that allow you enough flexibility to do what you need to do?
I think that's fine.
All right. Substantially screens.
Accept that, sir.
Is a second accept that? Is that?
Second.
A second by Ms. Russell. Ms. Gawe-Jones, you had some similar thoughts along those lines. Do you concur with?
I concur with the spirit of it. How I was envisioning it being put was a slightly different, but I think that what he is doing satisfies my concerns for sure.
As do I. Any additional comments, discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Wait, can I clarify? Okay. So we need to be voting on the amendment before we vote on the motion, correct?
No, nope, we're doing it as one.
Adopted it
we're voting
my...
on the amended motion.
Yeah, I adopted.
Oh, he agreed and she seconded it.
Additional language.
Right, but shouldn't we vote on the amendment before we then?
I believe Mr. Tilley's correct that it would resolve most of the issues. If
actually,
we
changed the motion.
Midstream?
Midstream, right. So
technically
we should have
withdrawn.
Voted on the amendment and then voted on the amended motion. But we changed the motion midstream. So
I'm satisfied if you three are satisfied, you who made and seconded.
I accepted his language in my motion.
Does that go with you, Ms. Chile?
It's fine. I mean, it's not really the way it should work. Parliamentary, but whatever you guys want to do.
Well, we use quasi rules. We're quasi judicial and quasi.
For the nerds, Mr. Stanton withdrew his motion, made a new motion adopting the amendment that was seconded
again. I'm trying to get streamlined here, but if you want me to do that, I'll just restate it with his words in it.
Let's just vote on it and be done with
it. I think
we're good.
I mean, that should be good.
As long as our recorder has captured this exciting conversation, I think we're fine.
Tantalizing. Just wait till we write the report.
Thank you, Mr. Toomey. Good. That was a good.
We have an amended motion on the floor.
We have an amended motion on the floor. And if we're in agreement, we're going to have... Right of the call to order, Ms. Carroll. May we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Russell.
Yes.
Commissioner Toohey.
Yes.
Commissioner Burns.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Lowe.
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon.
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton.
Yes.
Commissioner Gawe-Jones.
Yes.
Commissioner Rushing.
Yes.
Of 9 votes to approve, the motion carries.
Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. That concludes our cases for the evening. Public comments? Seeing none, staff comments?
I hit the button.
Mr. Zenner, you have a 5-second window. You
know,
you're going to lose your time.
Well, all right. So it's been a month. I'm slow on the draw around here. So your next meeting is January 21. We do have a number of items on that agenda. If my Vanna can advance for me. We have Waco North, which was a preliminary plat that seems like it was eons ago that we tabled it to our December 10 agenda. This is the extension of Waco Road north of the Tuscany development. We are still working through some technical issues associated with a development agreement that would accompany a future final plat. At this point, I'm 99% sure that we're going to have it on the agenda. However, we may get another request to table the road because the preliminary plat on it, and I'll know more in the next week. The other item that we have is a public hearing for a subdivision that is a final plat out on the CHA's property. This is Trinity Place. It does have a design adjustment for an item that we are going to be dealing with under item number 49. And it is a driveway crossing a property line. Therefore, that's the design adjustment associated with Trinity Place. We have tonight's tabled case for Kinney Point. That's the one East Sexton. And then the UDC revisions. And as I think we have talked about previously, those UDC revisions, we will do that as a single staff report. However, we will ask that each of the amendments themselves have a separate vote on them. So we can partition the minutes accordingly. We won't bore you with 17 staff reports, one for each amendment. Those are your items and your locations. Again, I'm sorry. Locations are Waco North Project, the Trinity Place, and then Kinney Point, which is Sexton and Garth, and then this is our PD revision, that's Kinney. So, or I'm sorry. Oak Towers. So, those are our items. That's all we have for tonight. Thank you very much. Welcome back. Happy New Year. Maybe we'll be out of COVID protocols here shortly.
In your dreams.
Wishful thinking. You noticed we all were I think it was all unanimous votes tonight. May we work in unison.
And we did struggle to make sure we got there after staff had to explain.
Discussion's okay. We all pulled together in the end. Commissioner comments. Mr. McMahon.
I'm going to steal a page from Commissioner Stanton here a little bit. I encourage everyone to get vaccinated when they can. Along those lines, if the VA, you guys should know the VA, United States government by now, if the VA holds true, I will get vaccinated later this month. So I'm encouraging all of you to do that so we can stop doing this. Thank you.
I concur.
Yeah, I'd like a screen that so I don't have to do this on my phone.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Oh, Ms. Russell, we have missed you.
You missed me.
Second by Mr. I'm going to give it to Stanton.